Hey, it's the Chaos Queen here, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
I know what you mean, Ferb. It does seem like more than 104 days.
Hello and welcome to episode 102 of Palka, brought to you by the Geekcast Radio Network. I am one of your hosts, TFG and Mike. Joining me, as always, is Pecan Corp Michael. Today we are in the 102nd day of summer, and this means it is the day that the GCRN finds out all about how to act your age. So, Michael, are you ready to jump on the roller coaster ride that is the podcast organization without a cool acronym?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Yes, you are. And act your age, folks. Don't forget, always got to act your age. Oh, boy.
And if you're 10 years older than you are currently?
Mm-hmm. I thought
that would make me older than dirt.
Well, yeah, make me older than dirt, too.
In 10 years, I'll be dead. Is that what you want? Want me to die? Is that what you want?
And act your age, I thought, was longer than it is.
Well, that's half an hour.
Yeah, but
22 minutes. It was a strong episode.
It was a strong episode, but I don't know. In this special episode set 10 years in the future, a teenage Phineas must decide between two colleges while grappling with the discovery that Isabella has had a crush on him since they were kids. The fuck you know that? I don't have any fucking idea. Ferb and the gang Ferb and the gang try to bring the two together so they can admit their true feelings for each other before Isabella leaves for school. Meanwhile, Doof wants a midlife crisis and builds a midlife crisisinator. Doof, what the fuck, dude? You don't need a midlife crisisinator. You just have them. They start happening at, like, I don't know, what, 39, 38, 30. What's the old Billy Crystal thing from City Slickers? The first movie, he was turning 38. He had a midlife crisis.
38?
Yeah. The second movie, he turned 39, and he had to go find Curly's gold. I don't know.
All right.
I mean, the average age for men now in 2025, the average longest age, I think, is what? 81, 82, something like that. So,
I have to be over 100 now.
Oh, God. I can't believe I'm doing this. Yeah. So
I'd like to say that I'm halfway to dead.
Yeah, me too. Average longest living.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, anyway, so.
Anyway.
I don't understand midlife crises because it's like clearly there's something wrong in your life that you feel like you, there's a hole there that you need to fill with, you know, an adventure or a shiny red sports car.
Yeah, exactly. So
I don't feel like I have a hole in my life. So I
would have
I'm
to
old,
click on,
but I haven't felt that way.
Yeah, I would have to click on several different links and whatever. But the Google AI response, the AI overview on Google says, according to current projections, the average longest living male in 2025. Is expected to live around 76.7 years based on the Social Security Administration's intermediate
that's
life expectancy.
Average, right?
Yeah, yes, average. Yeah, okay. Average, yeah. Age expectancy, right. Estimates with a slight increase from 2024. So 76.7 years. Okay, yes, 76 is a even number, but that 0.7 puts it at an odd number. If you, which is why I was using 84 in my original thing, because if you half 84, it's 44. Because right now, unfortunately, I'm 44, and as of this recording, we are 5 days away from my 45th birthday. Blah.
That sentence had entirely too many numbers. Apologize.
I will not apologize for the numbers. Thank you very much. So yes, folks, don't forget, act your age.
Hey, I'm Dan.
And I'm Swampy. We're the co-creators of Phineas and Ferb.
A show that you're probably watching right now.
Hopefully.
We get letters from kids all over the world asking us questions about the show. Well,
that's not actually true. We don't get a lot of actual physical written on paper letters. What we get is a lot of emails, it's digital, electronic.
Yeah, actually all of the emails we've ever received fit on this flash drive right here. But that's not as impressive as...
No, this stack of letters here is much more impressive. This is a prop, though, made mostly of foam, fiberglass, that kind of thing. Yeah.
So not to say that we don't actually get... letters from people, physical letters. This one's, for instance, from Becky. This is a question we get all the time. Are we ever going to see Perry the Platypus get a girlfriend?
No, not going to happen. No. Here's another one. This one is from Donnie. It says, are we ever going to see Phineas and Ferb as teenagers?
Yes. Yes, we are.
In fact, we're going to see it right now.
This episode is set 10 years in the future, so don't let it confuse you. Actually, to avoid confusion, let's just synchronize our calendars right now.
Ugh, I'm running out of time, Ferb. I got to choose a school. Do I stay local or go abroad? Trade school? Art school? Come on, Ferb. Help me make a decision.
Get in the booth.
Oh, cool. All my college acceptance letters. I guess we're going to let fate decide this one.
This was fun. I like this. This is good.
It was fun. And I mean, there was some really good parts. I don't want to jump the gun, but at the very end, right, you go through all of this and finally Phineas and Isabella get together and they're a couple. And he chases her down before she can go away to college. And kisses her. And I cheered? is that wrong?
No, because they're college age. They're adults.
Okay. Yeah.
Would be wrong if they did this three seasons ago when they were 10 years old together.
Well, technically, that would be a little... technically they did kiss in the second dimension.
But that's the second dimension. That's a whole other...
Before the mind wipe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Which that's 10 more years.
Yeah. We don't speak about that. So what's cool with act your age to me is that it actually starts with a live action intro from Dan and Swampy. I forgot about this.
That might have been my least favorite part, to be honest.
Really?
I feel like if they were going to come out and do a live action bit, that maybe should have been in the last episode. But this is kind of second to the last ish, and it just seemed oddly timed. But they kind of throw themselves out there, and they're like, "Oh hi, we're here in front of this comical mountain of mail that's actually a prop." It just seemed weird, It threw me off a little bit. I mean, if it was an hour-long episode, I'd say, yeah, let's waste 5 minutes, live action. It's almost like, gosh, I don't want to say lazy writing, but it's like they only wrote 15 minutes worth of show, and they had to fill it somehow, and they ended up filling it with, instead of 5 minutes of Buford in his underwear, with wings, they decided to fill it with Dan and Swampy.
I'm glad they filled it with Dan and Swampy. Nobody needs Buford an extra 5 minutes in his underwear with wings. Nobody needs that.
It'd be hilarious. It's just like a running gag throughout the episode where he's like trying to get into this damn suit. Where he's like taking off his shirt and he's like, turn around, I'm taking off my shirt, or like, hey, don't look at me. I'm putting on my my diaper.
No.
He's just in the background, like hopping up and down, just trying to get his pants off.
No. I know you have a proclivity for underpants humor and all that stuff, but no, we don't need that.
Poop related makes me giggle, but yes. Okay. So the funny thing is now this episode at this point. 10 years old? 15 years old? How old is it?
The episode itself, original release date on Disney Channel, which this is funny, and I know why the Phineas and Ferb Wiki does this, because Disney Channel, it's alphabetical, whatever.
Yeah.
But I wish they would have done it by date because it makes no sense here. Disney Channel U.S. premiere was February 20th, 2015. So, yes, this episode is 10 years old. And then the Disney XD episode was on my... that makes me really feel fucking old, people.
Yeah.
The Disney XD premiere date was February 9th, 2015. So my 35th birthday is so when 10 that... years
ago. Yeah. Yeah. So here's the thing, though, is it's like they show Dan and he's got brown hair, right? Mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm. You know, and yep. And if you follow Dan now, and
he's got white hair.
He's so gray. I know.
He's so, yeah. So gray. And we're not making fun. Like, look, we've been doing this podcast for almost 10 years, folks. I would love to have Dan and Swampy on and talk to them both, whether we have them on together or whether we have them on separately. It's not a disrespect thing. It's just a thing of 10 years ago, you had brown hair. 10 years later, you got gray hair.
It's an observation. And I observe the same thing in myself. You know, it's like, you know, 10 years ago, I had a terrible haircut and I didn't have gray hair. And now
I have a terrible haircut right now and I don't have gray hair. Well, but
now I got a pretty good haircut. I really like my stylist. And she's been around for almost 10 years. But, yeah, back then I had a haircut like Bert. It was.
Hey, you leave Bert. You leave Bert out of this if you're talking about.
Have you seen Bert's hair? He's like bald. He's got a little tuft at the very top that sticks straight up. That's what my haircut looked like. Terrible.
Which Which Bert are you talking about? Bert from Sesame Street?
Yes.
Bert from Sesame Street is not bald.
No, he's got a little tuft of hair at the very top of his cone head, sticking straight up.
Just like Phineas. Hey, wait.
No, so you're saying a haircut like Phineas? Is that what you're saying?
No.
It's just the worst hair. Anyway, as I was saying before.
New conspiracy theory. Bert is Phineas's father.
Oh, God. Oh, no. I think you're onto something there.
Oh. 10 years ago, 10 years later, what?
If his mom was like had shocking red hair, I might buy that. But somewhere his father has shocking red hair and a haircut like Bert.
Yeah. Okay, so time. 10 years back and forth. What now?
I don't know. What are we talking about? Oh,
I don't know.
So my point was, you know, if we're going to see Dan as Swampy, you have to point out the fact that number one, Dan's hair has changed very much. And number two, Swampy's hat. Same damn hat. Never changed that hat.
That's right. You always go with the look. So there's a... I'll have to take a new image, but...
He looks good in that hat. I'm just saying, you know, if it works, don't change it. All right.
There's an 11-year-old image of me floating out there on the internet with me in my Boston Red Sox hat. I still have the exact same hat.
Yeah.
And that was 11. No. 21, not 11. Wow. Math sucks, folks.
21.
Yeah, 2004. There's an image of me from 2004 wearing that hat, and I took one last year because it was the 10th. Yeah, anyway, 20th, or whatever. I don't. Act your age.
Yeah, we're summer going way down that.
Rabbit hole of numbers and Sesame Street characters being Phineas and Ferb's fathers. And oh, God, what if Oscar the Grouch was Doofenshmirtz's dad? Jesus Christ, that would be a show to remember. Hey. It could happen.
To Grouchinator.
To Grouchinator. There you go.
Grouchinator.
Yes. The de-Grouchinator leaves marks all over the place. Oh, God. Please tell me somebody's going to get that joke.
I didn't get it.
What? Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Grouchinator leaves marks.
Groucho marks.
Oh my gosh. That's the worst. It's not funny if you have to explain it.
I know. You're supposed to laugh anyway. Oh crap. Ass hat. All right, so save somewhere.
The other cool thing is the Nash Olay Mexican Jewish Cafe.
Yeah.
The second time I watched this, because I watched it a couple weeks ago and then rewatched it again, but the second time I watched it, I took note of the front of the restaurant, and mm-hmm. it's like a Pepe's, if you're familiar with a Pepe's.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's supposed to look like an old time mission, like a right. Southwestern mission, and except at the top where you have a bell, like a Taco Bell, like at the top where you have a bell, it has a dreidel.
dreidel.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I caught that the second time, and I was like, that's clever. it's like Taco Bell except with a dreidel. But gewillte fish tacos does not sound like something I'd want to eat.
Yeah, no, you can leave the gewillte fish in the sea. Thank you very much. I'll take haddock, I'll take flounder, I'll take cod over gewillte fish any day.
No gewillte fish.
Yeah. No gewillte fish.
So the other nice thing is they have all the Fireside Girls. Except now they're grown up. They're presumably getting ready to go off to college themselves, or maybe a year or two possibly behind Isabella. But I want to say they have adult voice actors, but in some cases, they do. But particularly Ginger, who has Ming-Na Wen, who again is the the only Disney trifecta voice actress. Or not even voice actor. She was a Disney princess, she was a Marvel superhero, and she was in Star Wars. So far, she's the only one that's done that so far.
See.
I mention that every time her name comes up. But yeah, she plays Ginger's mom in all the other episodes, but in this one, she plays Ginger.
How did I forget that?
Forget what? That she plays Ginger's mom?
No, that she was Chun-Li in 1994 Street Fighter.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not Disney, but yeah.
I know it's not Disney, but
She's a ridiculous badass. If you've ever seen Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., TV show, that's how she's, the Disney superhero, because she's the cavalry, Agent May.
Melinda May.
Melinda May, but she was, she's either pushing 50 or 50 at the time, and she was just badass. I mean, I aspire to be as cool as Agent May when I grow up.
You mean you haven't grown up yet?
Oh, hell no. I still love poop jokes. I haven't grown up.
Yeah. She will be 62 years old this November.
Oh my gosh, you're kidding. Wow.
I'm looking at her page right now. On the Phineas and Ferb wiki, and it lists her birth date, November 20th, 1963. So she will be 62 years old this year. And you're right, she can and does kick ass all of the time.
She's pretty amazing.
Yeah, very, very amazing. I'm trying to remember if it was Ming-Na Wen that did that, or I'm trying to remember what... I know what she's done, but I'm trying to remember a specific film. When was this? Was it Gunpowder? No, Gunpowder. She didn't do Gunpowder Milkshake. She did something else. I kind of sworn she did something else.
Of Michelle Yeoh.
Oh, yeah, that's... Yeah, because
Michelle Yeoh also a badass.
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah, but she's a... just a legitimate martial artist and also an older Asian lady.
Okay. Did you know that Ming-Na Wen's television debut was on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood in 1985? She was Royal Trumpeter number 3.
No.
Yeah, that's what this
says. Cow.
Yeah.
I want to say that Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood was a Chicago thing because it was on WGN back in the day. I could be wrong.
You mean the show was created, the setting of the show is Chicago, or the fact that it's produced in Chicago?
Both. Yeah.
Okay.
I could be wrong. Don't go look it up, but you know. Because, like, it came on the same channel and around the same time as Bozo Circus. And Bozo.
Pittsburgh.
Okay. So, same rural.
No. Pennsylvania is over here. Chicago is all, like, literally. You and I are both in northern Indiana, and we're closer to Chicago than Pittsburgh. I only had to click on one thing, and I only had to scroll over one thing. Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, the series had its genesis in 1953 when Rogers and Josie Carey joined the newly formed public television station WQED. So all as I did was I scrolled over WQED because it links to the WQED Wikipedia page. PBS member television station in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So it started in Pittsburgh.
All right. That's
so it's not a Chicago. See, and for me originally, I thought it started in Boston because I was a kid, obviously, in the 80s, and I'm originally from Boston, Massachusetts, and you got the PBS station up there was channel two, WGBH Boston, Channel 2. So, yeah, no, we're both wrong. It's in Pittsburgh. All right.
Anyway, well, again, for me, it was like on the same bat time, same bat channel as Bozo. Bozo was in Chicago. If you were a kid that lived in the Chicagoland area, you too could be in the audience to see some kid poorly throw a ball into a bucket. But the funny thing is, like, I have friends in California who had no idea what Bozo was.
Yeah.
You know, they knew that when someone's being a clown, you call them Bozo, because apparently that's derogatory for clown. But they didn't realize that Bozo was an actual person. Like, yeah, I watch Bozo every morning. That's how I knew when it was time to go to school, because when the Bozo bucket started, I had to go. Yep. And to be honest, kids never made the sixth bucket, so it didn't matter. I could go. One time I was late for school because some kid actually like got past three, and I was like, oh man, I gotta see this. I once watched a kid throw a ball into the sixth bucket and win that damn bike. And you know, if you have no idea what Bozo Circus is, and you've never seen the Bozo buckets, and this makes absolutely no sense to you, but I tell you, it's one of the most exciting things I'd ever seen at that age.
Awesome. So the Teen Fireside Girls.
I'm so sorry. Gretchen, let's get out of that rabbit hole.
Gretchen is still Ariel Winter. Addison is Madison Pettis. Holly is voiced by Dana Davis. We have already talked about Ginger with Mignon Wen. And then Dana Farman is Millie. And then
Diamond. Diamond's in there, right?
No, she's not. Diamond White's really? Not listed. No. Sole McGee is the voice of Katie. So Holly originally was Diamond White, right? As a kid, they switched that to Dana Davis, whoever Dana Davis is.
That is surprising because Diamond White. Well, you know what? 10 years ago, she probably was. Yeah, I guess she's probably about 8-10 years ago, so that would make her old. I guess that makes more sense, because like now, if you look her up, she's an adult.
Yeah. But you're talking about Diamond White, or
Diamond White. Yeah. Well, even Ariel Winter 10 years ago was probably still like 15.
Yeah. I'm looking up Holly here. I'm trying to see where it production. I'm trying to see. Heroes, an episode of Raging Bully. I was trying to see if they were going to list who the, like, if there were multiple, which there are multiple. I think there are multiple voices of Holly, but.
They'll list it on the wiki page for the Holly page.
I thought that that's what they were going to do. But apparently not.
Take you altogether too long to find that information.
Wow, Diamond White was born in 1999. Holy crap. All right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She's 26 now?
Uh-huh.
I feel ridiculously old. Okay, so Ollie was voiced by Symphonique Miller in season 1, Diamond White in season 2, and Dana Davis in Act Your Age.
Yep.
Huh. So, huh, I was really surprised they didn't go with Diamond White. Because, yeah, 10 years ago she would have been...
16.
That would have been perfect at that age. I don't understand.
But we do have a Transformers connection, ladies and gentlemen, because we always got to tie it back to Transformers around here. She was the voice of Francine Rain in Rescue Bots. Roll to the Rescue Bots, people.
Roll to the Rescue Bots, exactly. And that's where I was introduced to her. But she was young then, though. I mean, she was... This was... Roll the Rescue Bots was
2015?
Way back in no, 2010, 2011. Dayton was 5, so it would have been 2011.
December 17th, 2011 is when it first started.
Yeah, season 1, so would have been about 2011, because like I said, Aiden was 5, very difficult to work with.
He's supposed to have a combination of both you and your wife as his person. Wow. Well, then again, you're kind of difficult to work with sometimes, so, you know.
I can't be.
There's a whole thing, folks, that no one will ever hear. I'm going to reference it here. There's a whole hour of us discussing the schedule of podcast episodes here for the podcast organization without a cool acronym, going back and forth trying to figure out where shit belongs, and it didn't work.
Very difficult to work with. Very hard.
Yes. Age is, I don't know. I don't know what age is anymore.
Anyway, yeah, what it comes down to is if, when you have to do 18 takes with a 5-year-old, you know, come talk to me.
Yeah, exactly.
He said some really funny things, though, that I did include in the show. But
yeah.
One day he said I'm like, well, what did you think of Blades? You know, you like Blades? And he looks at me and says, he's helicopter-tastic. And I went... Helicopter-tastic. That's all you got to say. You
know, that's it. One-liners.
That made the 3 hours of recording worth it. Yeah.
Well, you know, that goes in line with, like I said, with what we always talk about here at the Geekcast Radio Network, which is Transformers. Michael Wilson is the new Wally Burr. Wally Burr. Could you do that again, Peter, please, with a different vocal inflection? Hey, Michael Bell, could you do this one more time? Take 3. We have a cricket in the studio. No, it's just Frank.
I just really just want you to make it sound like your hair is on fire, if that's...
That's okay. Right. That's right.
You know what that sounds like, right?
Come on!
So wait a minute. So she was born in... What'd you say? 95? 99. Then she would, in 2010, she would have been 11. Wait. 2011, she would have been 12. So she was 12 when she played Roll of the Rescue Bots.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, Rescue Bots.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah, she was playing like an 8-year-old, so that...
So that's not bad. I don't know.
Yeah, but she really... Yeah. Anyway, what it come down to is, you know, now she... Mm-hmm. She's doing. She's probably sinking somewhere.
Probably.
At
the OWCA, Irving, now working as an intern, notices Doofenshmirtz's innator alert going off and informs his superior, Commander Carl. Okay.
He just went straight to Commander.
Mm-hmm.
But Irving was. Intern Irving.
Yep. You got to do something with Irving. You got to throw Irving some sort of bone, and having him be an intern at Alka makes more sense than anything else, besides the fact that he's just usually a creeper anyway.
I guess.
He stalks the hell out of, like, can I join? Can I join? And then in one episode, he was, like, stuck in the tree just watching. Oh, don't mind me. I'm just here watching you guys have fun. I'm like, Irving, stop being a predator.
Bit of a creeper.
A little bit of a creeper there, Irving.
It's like, I'm looking at the birds.
Liar.
No, you're not. With binoculars, you little weirdo.
Uh-huh. And Monogram has since retired to Bora Bora.
That might have been one of the funniest lines in the show. It's like, he's in a better place now.
Sir, it's the old evil scientist alert system. It's showing innator activity on a Dr. Duford.
Doofenshmirtz? Great googly moogly. I thought he'd given up his evil ways when we placed him as a high school science teacher. It's too bad Monogram isn't around to see this.
Well, sir, he's gone to a better place.
Yeah. Oh, what the heck? I'm gonna call him.
Monogram.
How've you been, sir?
Carl, I'm great. Bora Bora really is a better place.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. You're not gonna do this, right? You're not gonna, like, you can't have Phineas and Ferb. Like, that's like killing Doofenshmirtz. Like, if you kill Doofenshmirtz, it's not gonna work.
It's not Disney without parental death.
I mean, you know, as much as I love Mr. Fletcher, he could go.
What? Oh. Jeez.
I'm just saying, Disney and parental death. Like, you know.
Everybody circle Ritz O'Brien. Nothing bad will ever happen to him.
Yeah.
I laughed out loud that time. He's like, but he's in a better place. Oh, yeah, Bora Bora. he calls him. He's like, I'm going to call him. Like, oh, good. You can call him. He's on a beach somewhere. That was funny, though. Like, just tell him I said hi.
Yeah, very funny. So we have that, and then...
Good times.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so the whole midlife crisis thing, and he ends up with the yellow sports car that he gives to Vanessa.
Mm-hmm.
Hear that? If she stole it, she might still be flirting with evil.
I don't know. Well, if that's
the best part about this is that she's no longer dating Seth Green. She's dating Ferb. they never really explained that. It was just.
I don't think there needs to be an explanation. I mean, if they wanted to, when we get the season 5, the new episodes, and I don't think we're going to get adult. I think this is just its own thing right here with Act Your Age. I don't think we're going to get in the new season. I'm fairly certain we're probably not going to get more adult, like this adult version of the characters anymore. I could be wrong. So, you know, whatever. But, like, I would love to see an adult Phineas, not adult, but adult, grown up. No.
It's like Phineas and Ferb, the next generation, where they've got like their kids, you know. It's like
I would love to see Ferb and Vanessa's kids.
Trying to figure out what they're going to do all summer together.
Yeah. It's bad enough we have Disney and parental death. We don't need to introduce Axel Braun to Disney.
What?
Axel Braun is a popular form porn director. Anyway, well, I kept saying the word adult, and you know,
okay, Axel Braun presents Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah, we don't need that. Honestly, it's probably out there, but we don't need it. We don't need to know.
That's Rule 34.
Yeah, exactly.
don't Google that.
No,
don't Google that.
Nope.
The best part of this episode will be deciding what to cut out of it, because it's far too long. And there's far too many rabbit holes. And we haven't actually talked about the episode yet.
Oh, no, this is all staying in. I'm not cutting any of this. Screw that. Getting too old for this shit.
Good times.
So, yeah, we got Phineas trying to figure out where he's going to go. We got Isabella doing her thing.
What about college?
Yep.
About.
And then something the rest about of the
Isabella
gang.
Isabella throwing up for some reason.
Throwing up? Oh!
She had salmonella. Because there's only so many things you can rhyme with Isabella.
Yeah.
Yeah. Umbrella, Salmonella.
Vanilla. No.
I was like, why is she throwing up? Is she pregnant? I don't understand.
Now, see, that would have been a good twist.
But yeah, exactly. Her morning sickness. But then I'm like, how old is she here? Because they keep showing her at different ages.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. What other notes do you have for Act Your Age? What else do we need to talk about with this?
I could go on and on and on about the whole life crisis thing. I can't really relate to it. But I know people who have. And it's not like, oh, I'm gonna go on an adventure. It's usually I'm gonna cheat on my wife.
No. That's not.
It's something again that I can't relate to because my wife's my best friend, and I can't, if I'm gonna run off on and have an adventure, it's usually with her.
Yeah, exactly.
So, no, I can't relate to that. I am of that age where it's like, oh yeah, you should probably have a mental breakdown and go do something stupid.
But see, I have those every day. Like, I don't go out and do anything stupid, but daily I have mental occurrence. Breakdowns every, yeah, it's a daily occurrence for me, so midlife crisis has been happening since 30, and I'll be 45. 15 years, folks.
Wow.
God, podcasting made me have a midlife crisis for 15 years. Jesus Christ.
I thought the podcasting was your midlife crisis. Probably. I'm going to go do something stupid. Where can I find a microphone?
Where can I find a crappy headset with a microphone attached? Oh my god, I still have that image. I took an image of myself. I took a selfie.
Headset?
Yeah, with the crappy headset. It's like a small ass earpiece that barely fit over my ear, and a microphone that was entirely too close to my mouth. And it's like, oh god, thank god this was only $7. and since that $7 headset, over the last 16 years, I bought the same microphone 3 different times. And now, like I said off air, I've upgraded to the Blue Yeti with a microphone stand, with a pop filter, with everything else, and all this and all that, and whatever.
You got the professional setup.
Yes, the professional setup.
It's funny. People are gonna make fun of me, but I just got like my third Logitech wireless headset, just because it's good for podcasting. It's good for gaming.
Yeah, yeah.
Play a lot of games, and it's good for everything. And it's not terribly uncomfortable. Since I got my new glasses, it's starting to be a little uncomfortable.
Yeah. See, I can't do. I probably need glasses because I'm legally blind, but I can't do glasses because taking them on and off, like if I sit here and I have my glasses on and whatever else, it's like, oh, okay, well, I'm going to go to the bathroom or go this or go that or go lay down, take a nap, whatever. It's like taking them off, going back to my crappy vision. It's like, what in the hell? Why would I do that? And the problem with the JVC. Don't do that. And the problem with the JVC HA, the HA RX700s is that they're full ear cup headphones, and my glasses won't even fit on my head wearing these things. So, no.
I got the full ear cup, but they just press the arms of the glasses into my skull.
No.
Over time, it becomes a little comfortable.
I would be uncomfortable after about 2.5 minutes of that. So, no. We're old men, in case you hadn't figured this out, folks.
Oh, we're
old
gosh.
Men that go
so
on all
blind
kinds
without
of...
my glasses. I can't.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yep.
Can't do it.
So, Doofenshmirtz has dyed his gray hair black and is riding a jet ski with Perry...
Not for dear life.
And then they crash the jet ski into a sailing yacht. Oh boy.
You know, There was nobody on that yacht. I'm like, is this just like this a ghost ship just derelict at sea and they happen to run into it? Because that's odd.
Mm-hmm.
I had a nickel for every time that happened.
Uh-huh.
One nickel.
Yeah, one nickel. And then they crash the yacht. He swims back to shore.
Well, it sank. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That happens.
Yep, yep, yep. And then the rest of the episode is pretty much Phineas deciding between Tri-State State and something else. I forget what the second one was. And then the rest of it is
Belgium.
Was it Danville U? I thought
Danville
it was
U. Danville U or Tri-State State? Yeah, because they live in Danville. And it's like, is their town, is that big enough to support a
university? Two college systems, yeah.
Who yeah, knows? Sure. Well, Tri-State might not be in Danville. Might be next door.
Yeah, that's right. It's the college in the town right next door.
Right next door.
Right next door. That's right. So we have Baljeet, the Fireside Girls, Buford trying to get Isabella and Phineas together. That's the rest of the crux of the episode.
Yeah. I found it surprising. Actually, maybe it wasn't so much surprising, but how much time do teenage boys sit around making sandwiches? All right.
Well, I think what they were trying to show, and again, I'm assuming, so I'm probably making an ass out of myself here, but yeah. I'm assuming what they were trying to show is that the girls are doing their conversation thing about how to get them together, and the boys are, it's cliques, it's circles, it's, you know.
Doing much.
Mars versus Venus. Venus and Mars and all that, and male, female, whatever, and male bonding, and then the girls have the female bonding. Again, I could be wrong, but they're just making a sandwich or making a couple of sandwiches because Buford comes in and he's got this deeper voice that doesn't really sound like this because my voice can't sound like Buford, but his voice has gotten so much lower. Holy crap, that hurt.
Yeah, you just injured yourself, I think. Mm-hmm. I just thought it was funny because he kind of went from sounding like Cartman, you know, like, mm-hmm. hey, let's go out, you know, mm-hmm. And now he's more up here where he's talking, you know, about his film aspirations and, you know, but it's still him, you know.
Yeah, it's still him. It's still a good voice.
Buford, but, you know, he's made a definite change. And I felt like, well, Ferb didn't change at all, but I felt like the Phineas voice actor made an attempt to sound more, you know, mature, but it still was just Phineas.
Vincent Martella didn't do anything to Phineas's voice. I think what he changed
there was a difference. It was subtle.
Yeah.
It was that's a huge good. Difference.
Yeah, that subtlety is good, folks. Trust me.
It takes talent. I'm not saying you phoned it in. I'm saying it takes talent to get there.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that, and it was funny because they make the point. They make the. He actually says, "We're just waiting for our voice to drop," you know. Yep. And then Baljeet comes in and he's like, "Hey, how's it going?"
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. Oh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then his voice goes back to normal. But I like Bobby Gaylor as Buford, whether it's the younger Buford or I like the older Buford. It sounds good. It's all right.
No, I honestly felt that the rest of the characters should have followed suit. They should have, you know, maybe been a little less subtle in the same way that Buford was less subtle. Buford was like, oh no, you know, he kind of went from. I don't know. He was much more raspy, I guess, but you know. And then he's as a film student, you know. I'm going to create pretentious art, you know. And he just sounded more mature, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and what's funny though is you know, I have kids of my own who are, you know, 16 and 18 now, and you know, you've got Aiden at five or six going, helicopter-tastic, you know? And now he's like, oh, hey. I was like, my son Gavin is so, he's like, hey, how, what, you know? It's like not a day goes by where he's not like, bruh, come on, bruh. And it's like, my voice isn't even that low. I don't know where he got that from. Bruh, come on. You're gonna take me to school. I'm like, dude, no, you can drive your own ass to school. It's like,
you got a license, go drive.
I know. Just the other day, he's like, I thought I smelled something, you know, in the car. So I want you to go look at the car. And I'm like, all right, well, you're going to have to leave it here while you take, you know, maybe your brother will drive you and then I'll come pick you up after school or something after wrestling. And he's like, you're going to come pick me up, right? Like, I'm gonna come pick you up. What time are you? Oh, I'm not done until like 6. Like, well, yeah, it's fine. You know, his voice is down here somewhere. You know, and I'm like, oh my god. Yeah. Huge difference from when they're little.
Yeah.
You know,
I have to actually touch my throat in order to get this voice to change my voice to sound like that. I can't do it on my own. I have to.
It's really tough.
Yeah.
Bruh. Come on, bruh.
Yeah.
Bruh. You're coming to get me, right? Yeah. I'll come get you. All right. Yeah, I'll come get you. It's just weird. He doesn't register that low, but, you know. But yeah, very different from when he was little. You know, 12-year-old Aiden is different from 18-year-old Aiden. But 16-year-old Gavin, it's like, oh my god, are you doing that on purpose? Are you trying? What are you doing?
they're just trying to screw with you. That's
but yeah, I would not have been. I wouldn't have been upset if they had, you know, lowered Phineas a little bit, you know.
Yeah,
it's like they still want him to be recognizably Phineas, but you know, he's
like, oh, that's what I'm saying.
What I'm gonna do today.
Yeah, well, no, you don't want to have him go that low, but I think I think Vincent Martella did a nice enough subtle job where he did. It's not the high-pitched Phineas that's up here all the time. Blah, 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 blah. It's not that. It's a little lower than that. It's a little less excitable. Because he has all these emotions between Tri-State State and Danville U. Like, pick one already.
I think the emotions are finding out that your crush had a crush on you obviously. For 10 years. You had no idea.
Yeah.
It's like, he's like, oh, man. I got to go for a walk. I got to clear my head. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just going to go.
Yep.
And at that point, I'm like, well, there's a teenage boy. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say out of all of them, Phineas is probably the most teenagerish because at least Buford, Baljeet, and Ferb, they kind of know what they're... Like, Phineas is the only one that doesn't know what he's going to do. He's the only one with a... I don't want to say midlife. Like, Doofenshmirtz has a midlife crisis. So does Phineas. Phineas has an early midlife crisis with trying to figure out the fact that, you know, the girl that he had this crush on had a crush on him that he didn't even know about. And I don't know how he couldn't have known about it, even if they didn't talk about the kiss in the second dimension. Because the mind wipe and whatever. Like, if they hadn't done the mind wipe, they could have done so many stories of Isabella and Phineas and fit all that in instead of having to do this, you know, 10-year will they won't they BS. Yeah. So remember, folks, act your age.
It's like for somebody who knows what they're going to do every day, you know, I know what we're going to do today. You know, he seems to know very little about what he wants to do for the rest of his life. It's like, don't you know what you want to be when you grow up? I mean, and now. Arguably, you're grown up and you are going to go off to college. You don't know what you want to do.
Yeah. Like, and I think that's the crux of this whole episode is that, as we've mentioned in the last 9.5, 10 years that we've been doing this podcast, is that we never see that we've never seen them at school. We've seen them go to a school-like building, but we've never. It's always after school, or it's because it's summer. They're not in. It's not. They're not in school. Like so we've never really seen them do the school thing. So we've never, like, here with At Your Age trying to figure out what you're going to do. That seems to me like I love the episode. The episode's great. The problem is, we've never seen them in school before. Like, we know they're geniuses. We know that they can excel at math or science or biology or trigonometry. Trigonometry is math, but like all these other things that, you know, normal people go through school and everything else, they're essentially geniuses. And this is the one of the first times, if not the first time, we're seeing them talk about the school stuff and having graduated high school and all this and all that. So it's a different episode in the sense that we're not focusing on, hey, I know what we're going to do today. Like, we're not focusing on that. They're not have the adventure in this episode is them trying to figure out what they're going to do at the next stage of their life, because they are now at the next stage of their life. They're not kids who are building giant roller coasters or water slides balloons that use helium all the stuff, right. Like, you know, all the stuff that they've done, giant floating baby heads and everything else. Was the giant floating baby head in this? Because if it wasn't, I'm taking 3 points off.
I was not in this one.
I'm not going to take 3 points off of this because of that. But I'm like, yeah. So again, I think this is a different episode that leaves us wanting a little bit more context. But at the same time, it also feels like, oh, like if they were going to end it here, like if this is where the series stopped, and we didn't have Last Day of Summer, we didn't have any of the other things that we still have to do with the podcast, I would be perfectly fine with this, because this would, okay, summer is over. Yes, you've had like 10 summers or 20 summers or however many summers you've had in one summer, but you're presenting us with an episode where they're becoming adults.
Yeah.
And usually when kid shows end, most of the time is when they become adults, because it's no longer a kid show.
They're no longer kids. Or worse, they jump the shark and bring in more new kids.
We don't talk about Saved by the Bell, the new class. Thank you very much. That's a perfect example to this episode. You look at Saved by the Bell. Saved by the Bell is on, however, I don't have the information in front of me, however many seasons, I think 10, 9 or 10 seasons of Saved by the Bell. They're always in high school. They're, I think I would have to do some clicking and figuring out what. Anyway, point is that by the end of Saved by the Bell, they graduate high school and 35. Go on. That's acting. That's Hollywood. I'm talking about the fictional universe, not the real
Mario
universe.
Mario Lopez in college for 15 years.
Let's not go there.
For 15 years.
Hey, look, you know, went to high school for 15 years, got on extra, and then started as a young Colonel Sanders in a 2-minute haul. Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Yeah, for seduction. What?
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 What? What?
What?
All right, so we have Mario Lopez and Axel Braun teaming up?
No. No!
Is that Saved by the Bell? I thought that's what Showgirls was.
Yeah, kind of. But yeah, so we get Saved by the Bell, and then we get Saved by the Bell of college years, where we see them in college, which here in Phineas and Ferb, because it's summer, we don't see them at school. We see them out of school, having all these fun adventures, creating all this stuff, doing all these crazy things, and now that this episode is here, summer is over, no more adventures as far as...
High school's over. They completely skipped high school.
Yeah, exactly.
All the salmonellas glossed over.
No. Just no.
Salmonellas. Just hugging the porcelain throne. I got so much salmonella.
But yeah, I mean, and I thought this was longer. I didn't realize this was only 22 minutes.
You know, it's weird though. So we have like next up, we have the Last Day of Summer, which is an hour. And then we have the special, which Save Summer. That's an hour. You've got the Alka Files after that. Another hour. So it's like, yes, they probably could have given us an hour of Phineas and Ferb and their friends all as teenagers. Nay, they should have given us an hour of them as teenagers. Yeah. Kind of expounded on that. I mean, they could have done something other than, hey, let's all sit around and make sandwiches and and manipulate each other in this weird teenage relationship one-upmanship.
Yeah.
I get it, but, you know, it's like, you know, there's creative stuff we could have seen here.
Yeah. Yes, there is, but unfortunately, we're not seeing it here.
I don't know. I still enjoyed the episode.
Yeah, no, really I did too.
I felt like this could have been a nice end to the series. After watching, you know, The Last Day of Summer, I'm happy that it wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, after that, it's like, wait a minute, the end of The Last Day of Summer is just perfect.
Uh-huh.
It's like, yeah, it's like, no, I wouldn't want to have missed that.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't want to miss that.
Nah, we'll talk about that next time. Well, but
yeah, later, eventually, one of these days.
This episode is really sweet, and like I said, at the end, you get a cheer-worthy moment.
Yep, absolutely.
What are you looking up? You're looking something up.
Not looking up anything. I'm not doing anything. It's yeah. It is absolutely a tear worthy moment.
Cheer. I'm not crying. You're crying.
Yeah, I'm not crying. You're crying. But yeah. No. I very much enjoyed this.
But yeah, totally worth waiting for.
Yep.
That's what she said.
I don't know about that, but...
Oh, she did. Yeah, she said that was worth waiting for.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Yeah. I wish she would have said something else after that, like,
what?
I remember something. Well,
I know what you had for lunch today.
No.
What else would she say?
Like, if she actually...
Totally worth waiting 10 years for.
Yes, it was. But I'm saying it would have been nice if there was some sort of look on Isabella's face where she kind of, even though there was a mind wipe, that she kind of remembers the original kiss that they... That would have been cool if there was some sort of smile or realization of, hey, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
We've done this before, but no, act your age. I don't even know if we've talked about this.
From that moment, though, you know.
Okay, I do like that Phineas is in the car with Vanessa and Ferb, where Phineas is not just, "Hey, I've been running after Isabella's car," or "Hey, I just came out of this shop next to this stoplight." I like that he's in the car with Ferb and Vanessa. And they meet up at the traffic
light. Like, can he drop you off somewhere? And he's like,
yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm going to chase her down.
Yeah.
I was wondering, like, while this is happening, what's going on with the traffic behind them? She just stops her car. She hops out in the middle of the street. And they're like, making out?
Yeah.
At an intersection? In a town that's literally big enough to hold a university?
Two universities.
Yeah, exactly.
Danville U and Tri-State State.
Actually, no, she was going to Tri-State State, and she was leaving the town. She was leaving. She was getting on the highway to leave the city limits. So it tells me that Tri-State State is farther away, but not in Danville.
It's in the Tri-State.
A little outside.
It's in the Tri-State area there because, you know, Tri-State State.
Yeah.
It's in Kansas. Exactly. It's in Kansas, Missouri.
Kansas.
That's right.
Kansas. I thought the tri-state was Minneapolis.
I don't know. All is I know is I hope none of those teams win. Neither one of them. Can they both? Can we have a ref just rig it to where they both lose the Super Bowl?
Oh, shoot. I don't even know who's going to be in the Super Bowl.
The Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City is trying for a three-peat.
Did you just read that off the wiki?
No. Yeah. I read that off the my brain-damaged brain, because all as I've been seeing lately is everything about Patrick Mahomo and everything else. Somebody else made that joke. I didn't make that joke. Yeah,
that's just mean. Why would you say that?
Well, I mean, you know,
it's not helpful.
The NFL is rigged. I mean, you know, Taylor Swift bought them off, and she's going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Well,
it's a thing that you don't. You're not a sports guy, and it's
I don't know anything about it. Actually, is it this weekend or next weekend?
As of this recording, it'll be February 9th, 2025, my friggin' birthday. I hate that the Super Bowl is on my birthday this year, because I don't care for either one of the teams.
Oh.
I'm just there for commercials.
I like the commercials. See, I feel the same way.
Yeah.
And just, you know, every year I'm invited to a Super Bowl party, and I go to it, and I watch the commercials.
Yep.
And I eat snacks and take shots. That's it. That's essentially it.
That's funny.
Oh, man.
Act your good age. Times. What are we going to rate this thing?
I'm inclined to give it a 5. Is it perfect? It might be. Do I often cheer at the end of Phineas and Ferb? No, not all the time. This time I cheered a little, you know, and I liked seeing all of the characters grown up. You know, I feel like, they were firing on all cylinders here.
Yeah.
You know, I'm giving it in that 4.5 to 5 range, you know.
Yeah, I can see it being a 5, because again, like you just said, you have all the characters grown up. You have all the characters in completely different yet the same set. Like Irving working at Alka, that hasn't happened before.
Yeah.
You got Carl, who's in charge now. That's kind of cool. So Carl kind of got his comeuppance. He's no longer an intern. He's the boss. Major Monogram's retired to Bora Bora. You know, he's hanging out with Xander Cage from the XXX film franchise, because Xander Cage, a.k.a. Vin Diesel, always wanted to go to Bora Bora. So you got that. And you got Doof kind of doing his old thing. Like, I don't know. You got him doing, you know,
he's old, but he's happy.
Yeah.
I can relate to that.
Yeah. And I like the whole thing of, he even says it. He says, "Harry the Platypus, what are you doing here? It's not Wednesday. We're not going bowling." It's not our bowling night. And Perry points to the, and he goes, "Oh, the old innator alert went off." That's so funny. Like, I like that. I think that's kind of cool. And then again, as we've already mentioned at length about Phineas and his eternal teenage adultish struggle of trying to figure out, you know, what he's going to do with his life and all that. Like, I like that. I think that's good. I think that's fun. As always, you know, Ferb and Vanessa, we don't get much with Ferb. Like he says, I think one or two things. But I like seeing them.
He says, "Get in the booth."
That's right. That's right.
That was awesome. Like, I need a booth. I need a decision-making booth. I can just throw all my decisions on the floor and then turn on the booth, and then I'll flop around until I can grab whichever one I grab first. It's like, oh, that's what I'm going to do today.
Yeah, I would rather have a decision-making booth where I can actually choose something than have artificial intelligence do it for me. Oh, my God. AI has made this world fucking lazy as hell.
See, I don't use it.
Good.
Maybe I'm just old. I don't know.
But again,
get off my lawn, Siri.
Yeah, exactly. Get off my lawn, Siri. Unless you're naked, get off my lawn, Siri.
Axel Braun and Shuri are on my lawn again. Get off my lawn, Axel Braun.
That's right.
I'm still not sure who Axel Braun is, but it's a funny name.
Oh, God. I can't believe I'm going to do this, folks.
Don't Google it. Stop it. Just leave that alone. There are children present.
There are not children present.
I'm sure there are.
Hey, look, this podcast is labeled explicit, so that's the adult's fault. Italian-American adult film producer and director known for his productions of pornographic parodies. So...
Parodies, all right.
Yeah, he does.
Technically, there could be Axel Braun Presents Phineas and Ferb.
Yeah, that's the thing. There could be.
It's just the worst hair. Worst hair ever.
But like the AI thing, when I searched about the whatever it was I searched about earlier, I forget what it was.
For something in AI?
Well, no, when I searched about the average longest living male, about the midlife crisis, about the age thing.
He's about 12 inches.
No. Oh, my God. No. Not body. Get your body parts out of here.
You're the one bringing up porn.
No. What I said was...
Yeah.
AI has made this world lazy. And the thing of it is the first... Like I said, I searched before we had the Axel Braun references.
Yes.
Average longest living male 2025. The first result that Google pulls up is an AI overview, which is what I read earlier.
Because it's really good at summarizing.
Right, and I understand. Yeah, I understand it's good at summarizing, but luckily the next thing, the next two links are, one is from Worldometer, one is from BBC Science Focus, who is the oldest person in the world in 2024, yada, yada, yada. And then it goes to Wikipedia, oldest people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the thing is, most people aren't going to scroll past the AI overview.
The AI summary, yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to scroll past that and try... And it's not just this specific search. If I searched any...
If you go to Amazon, and at the top of the reviews, you could have 2,000 reviews, but at the very top, it's going to have an AI blurb that says people talk about these positive benefits, but they've also mentioned these negative benefits. And, and it's like, wow, that's really helpful. I don't have to read 2,000 reviews now. I can just get the AI summary.
Yeah.
Because it's really good at reading 2,000 reviews. And summing them up for me.
Yeah, and that's fine, but it's just
let me explain. No, there's too much. Let me sum up.
Yeah. But it's like my intro and outro for the podcasts. I wrote that. I created that. I did that myself. I was creative enough.
Far too short to be summarized by AI, but okay.
No, it's a paragraph. It's not even a paragraph.
Okay. Exactly.
The outro might be too long for the AI to summarize, but that's because I have so many things in the outro. But it's one of those things where, I wrote this. Steve and I came up with this various thing, and I've changed it and done every kind of thing else and whatever.
Not what AI is for, though. I mean, AI would listen to all of your podcasts and give you a summary of the entire body of work,
Yeah, and it has. But I'm saying, I hear people today on certain podcasts and other things I have an idea for a YouTube video. Here's the idea. I'm going to let AI finish making my idea. Some people are using AI to be lazy and not be creative.
Oh, all right. Well, I can see that.
Yeah. If I was to say to Gemini or whatever the hell, I don't think this will activate my phone, but hey, Gemini, write me an intro to a podcast where my buddy Michael and I are talking about the Disney Channel animated cartoon Phineas and Ferb. So if I gave it that prompt where I said, do this for me, I don't want to use AI to do things for. I'm brain damaged. I don't have a piece of my brain. I need to use as much of my brain as I possibly can. I want to be as creative as I can. And
fair enough.
Yeah, that's my biggest issue with AI. It's not because it's not simple or easy or it summarizes things. That's all fine. Where I draw the line is I don't want it creating for me.
I think I'm going to try that for next week. I'm just going to be like,
No, you're not.
Write me a script for a conversation around the episode Last Day of Summer. And then it'll just write out a script for me that I can then read verbatim.
Yeah,
wow, this is so much easier. Holy cow. Uh-huh. I'm so lazy. This is awesome.
Yeah, uh-huh, right. Ass hat. Right.
If I could figure out how to do that, I probably would. Get off my lawn, Siri. I don't understand.
I
don't really know how to do that.
Yeah, it honestly isn't that hard to use AI to be non-creative.
You know, what's funny now is if I could be wrong, but like if I'm in Windows, mm-hmm. the little search bar at the bottom, I want to say that is like AI enabled now. So if I just told it this is what I want, it would probably go back and give it to me.
Probably.
I'm not going to try it because technology scares me. But you know, I could.
He works in IT, folks, and technology scares him. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else? Yeah, exactly.
My favorite thing to do.
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's what it is. Anything else about Act Your Age? I know we already gave it fives and everything else, but anything else about this one?
Yeah, we already talked about how I thought that it would have made a nice, you know, season series finale.
Yep.
But again, you know, the end of Last Day of Summer is just priceless. You wouldn't have given that up.
Nope. Absolutely. All right, folks, we're going to go to a podcast ad break. You're going to hear some podcast ads and probably some other stuff, and we'll come back to close the show right after this.
I'm going to go with my gut. It's between these two, Danville U and Tri-State State.
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Are you missing entertainment in your life? Welcome to Captain Ruggles Gaming. Whether it's guides, roleplay content, or our shenanigans with our collaborations with the 20 years standing strong Fart Clan, also known as Fast Action Response Team, or the Wrecking Crew, we have something for everyone. So join us when we traverse the cosmos of space games, survive the undead in zombie games, or just having fun in first-person shooters or random indie games. Visit us now at geekcastradio.com and youtube.com/@CaptainRuggles or Google search Captain Ruggles Gaming. It's game time, and I'll see you out on the battlefield.
Yo, Joe, and welcome to the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast, where a punk rock band of brothers get together to talk about one of our shared loves, toy collecting.
Toy hunt by day, punk rock band by night. We'll take any excuse to get in the van.
We all collect different toy lines like those real American heroes.
G.I. Joe!
To the toys that are more than meets the eye, Transformers.
To He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
From vintage to modern and all topics in between, you can always expect some rowdy and passionate discussion because we love talking toys here on the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast.
Hi, I'm Gorky, Let's Play. Visit my YouTube channel to check out all the good stuff that I'm doing. I've got Cyberpunk videos, I've got Outlast Trial videos, I've got Power World, Avowed. Several things going on, and I do a selection of commentary and no commentary streams and videos. sometimes you just want to enjoy a game and see how it goes. So if that sounds interesting to you, go check me out at youtube.com/@GorkyLetsPlay.
Hey, toy fans, this is John, also known as Iacon Dispatch. You can find me on pretty much every social network at Iacon Dispatch, where I share cool Transformers and Star Wars stuff that I like. Thanks so much to the great people at Geekcast Radio Network for putting this awesome project together and for once again letting me contribute to it. Definitely had a lot of fun with it. Take it easy, everyone, and I'll see you around online.
Are you in need of what the heck did I just listen to? Are you in need of a laugh at the expense of the internet? Boy, do I have a treat for you. Here at Lyrically Audacious, we turn just about anything into music. Visit us now at youtube.com/@@lyricallyaudacious, all one word. So swing by, have a laugh. Stay lyrical, stay audacious, here at Lyrically Audacious.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spots sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car. Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
You know, Beljeet said something funny. He said you had a crush on me back in grade school.
Oh, yeah, I had a big crush on you.
Wow, I had no idea.
Really? I thought I was being so obvious.
Absolutely clueless. Sorry.
I sort of gave up when we got to high school.
Yeah, I think that's when I started having a thing for you.
All right, folks, we are back here on the podcast organization without a cool acronym. Any last words before I run through the outro, sir?
I wish I had some.
Okay, good. Thank you for joining us here on Palka. There are several ways to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Plus, we now have a brand new fourth wall store on the website. Visit shop.geekcastradio.com, where you can get all your Geekcast Radio Network merchandise, like t-shirts and mugs and mouse pads and whatever else is in there. So go buy our stuff. Send any email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on most of the podcatching clients out there today, like Apple and Spotify and other places. You can follow us on Twitter. Yes, the real people that love the thing that it used to be still call it Twitter, at Geekcast Radio for the network. I'm at TFG and Mike. Are you still using your Twitter?
I'm probably going to get booted off eventually because, you know, the owner of Twitter has made it clear that anybody who is commenting against the current political climate will be booted.
Yeah, I don't pay attention.
Kind of odd for the guy who is, you know, all about free speech to suddenly decide that free speech isn't so great.
Yeah, that's not cool.
Yeah, so I'm not posting or anything. I barely read it anymore. I'm over in other places.
Yep. You got to join Blue Sky, man. I thought you were going to do that, but...
It's just another thing that I got to read, you know, another thing I got to keep up with. It's too much like work at this point, but yeah, I probably will.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palka and wish you'll join us next time when we will be giving you our thoughts on the next episode of Phineas and Ferb, which is the Phineas and Ferb Save Summer 1-hour-long special. I think it's an hour. I don't remember. For now, I am TFG and Mike with...
The Concord Michael.
Thank you for listening. Until next time. Oh, yeah. And unleash the geek in you.
But wait, there's more!
So confused.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. But, you know. Awkward silence. I'm waiting.
Yeah, I hit the wrong button. I hit the okay, Emperor Palpatine.
Unlimited power.
I hit the wrong button on the microphone.
That concludes my dissertation on modern investigative techniques for establishing proof of guilt without with and evidence.
Oh boy. Oh, wait, I need to go up here, don't I?
Yeah, I messed that up. It's like proof of guilt with or without physical evidence.
Oh, physical evidence. There you go.
Physical evidence. Because it's like every time she goes to bust the boys, they're gone. Whatever. All the proof is gone.
Yeah. Candace wasn't even in this, was she?
She was. They showed her.
Was she?
Yeah, because Phineas said, I don't know what kind of school I want to go to. And Ferb says, well, you could go to law school with Candace. And then they showed Candace with her dissertation. And her dissertation... Right. Her dissertation was Modern Investigative Techniques for Establishing Proof of Guilt with or Without physical Evidence.
Okay.
And the review board was like, wow, I've never wanted to bust somebody more.
Okay. Like, again, like, she's not there to, she's not there she's there, but she's not,
She made an appearance.
Yeah, she made an appearance. She's not starring in the episode. She's not trying to bust them for trying to move on with their lives. Like, you know, and I'm like, wait, like, literally, the whole time we've been talking, I'm like, where's Candace? Like, I'm so used to, you know, annoying Candace. She's a grown-ass adult on her grown-ass college.
She's finishing her law degree.
Yeah.
Actually, and she's defending her dissertation, which tells me that she's getting, like, a PhD in law. She's got a PhD in busting. Now she's Dr. Candace.
Oh, my God. No.
Dr. Candace. I didn't spend 4 years in busting school for you not to call me doctor.
Yeah, the school of busting.
Looking up now. Stop it.
I'm not looking up anything.
We're closing up shop.
We did that. This is the outtakes, man. I'm loading up YouTube videos to watch YouTube and make cookies.
Oh, cookies?
Ooh. Yes, cookies. I have the instant Nestle Toll House break apart. They're not no bake, but they're
They're refrigerated. You just stick them on a cookie sheet.
I put them in the freezer. I didn't put them in the refrigerator. Should I put them in the refrigerator? I don't need to just. I don't need to defrost those.
Yeah, you can't just stick frozen. Well, I guess you could, but they're not going to cook right. Yeah, you put them in the fridge, let them thaw a little bit so it's nice and soft, and then you can break them apart and stick them on a cookie sheet.
Okay, see, I thought you broke them. Yeah, see, I thought you...
Balls and put it on
I thought you broke them apart while they're frozen so it's an easy, clean break. So it's not gooey, messy.
Hammer?
No, you just split them apart with your hands, man.
Scatter it with a rolling pin.
That's right.
I don't know.
Rolling. Rawhide.
Moving. Chrissy got like sourdough starter, which is essentially you know like dough.
Yeah.
Except you mix it, you know, with a certain amount of water and a certain amount of flour and and if you're so inclined, right, you can add brown sugar and other stuff to it and make chocolate chip cookies out of it. They were the best cookies. They were so good.
Very cool.
You know, yeah. It's a lot of work. but they were really tasty. It was worth it.
There's not really any more. That's about it.